certainly great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church. We're so excited that you're here. We're so excited that we've been able to worship together. I know that it's probably been cold in your neck of the woods, but it was certainly an exciting time at our house as the snow came through, and certainly we had a good time with that, something that we do not obviously see a lot around here. But I'm glad that you survived it, the blizzard of 2017, you know. But I'm glad that you're here today. We have some visitors with us today. Thank you very much for being a part of the church here and our attendance today. We are excited about you being here. We want you to come back and be a part. We're also mindful of those who may not be with us today because they're traveling. And we do have several, as you can see, out of town and not with us. And so we want to encourage them and check on them. But we also have some amongst us that are hurting. And we mentioned several, Justin did. But I also want you to remember the family of Mr. Bart Miller, Brother Bart. Mr. Bart is in the hospital and really having a very tough go of it. And their family is certainly concerned about him and Randy and Tammy and all their family. But we certainly want to pray for Mr. Miller and Miss Miller and all the Miller family. We also want to remember all the things that are going on around here. Justin did a great job with all those announcements. That was a lot of them today. But certainly, please, men, remember the elders, deacons, ministry leaders meeting today. 3 o'clock is very important. We'll be looking at our budget for 2018. So those of you who won't be at the meeting, we ask that you'll pray for a good meeting for us, that you'll remember that in your prayers this afternoon, and hopefully you have been, but that's a very important meeting, and you can be here, and then we'll be, the elders will be able to present that in the very near future. But thank you very much for all that you do. I am excited today to give you some good news. Good news is always great, right? We have enough bad news going around. We have a couple that have been visiting with us now. I've known at least half of this couple for quite a while. The other one I was calling the wrong name for about 3 weeks. But anyhow, I am very happy to announce that Austin, and it's not Myra, y'all, it's Maya, Dodich, are not visiting with us anymore. They're deciding to be members, place their membership with us. Austin, I've known from the years through Mobile Christian. He's a great young man, great man, I should say. Maya is just outgoing and just awesome, and so we're glad to have them here. But in just case you don't know them, I'm going to give them a stand-up. Austin and Maya, please. Welcome to Azalea City. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're a part. Thank you very much for making that decision. Please get to know them better and help them to feel welcome. Closing the year strong. It is the giving season. It is the time of the year that a lot of excitement's in the air. There's a lot of things going on. As you can hear, there's a lot of joy in children especially. They're looking forward to, they're counting down the days, just a few more days until Christmas Day is here. And so there's a lot of excitement going on there. But there are some who may not share that same excitement. This is also a very hard time of the year for people. This is a hard time of the year because folks are dealing with maybe their income is not where they want it to be. Maybe instead of being able to pay cash or something, we're having to swipe cards. It feels like we're having to swipe cards to get further and further in debt. Maybe it's because we aren't in the health that we once had. Maybe it's a hard time because we're struggling with sickness or some type of ailment. Maybe someone is struggling today because of a loss of a loved one, and that affects so many. Maybe it's a disease, and maybe it's a sin. We could go on and on about what's going on in people's lives. But that led me to the first couple Sundays. We talked last Sunday, and I'm going to talk this Sunday, to deal with something that's on people's minds, and I think a lot of people deal with it. I know I am one to deal with anxiety. I deal with depression. I mentioned that to you. I mentioned it last week again. In case you weren't here, that is something that I am clinically diagnosed with. There are others in our congregation who, through me going through that, it's opened up a door and we've built a bridge to each other's heart and we have a bond. You know, we're the ones that we need each other and we bounce those ideas off of each other. And very soon we want to start a group that will help with that so that we can meet and we can talk and we can encourage. And it's a lot of things that we can work through together. But at the same time, there may be some of you who you've been afraid to open up about. You've allowed anxiety, the first cousin of worry, to hold you back, to think that way I feel is normal and it's so I'm just miserable and that's the way I'm supposed to be. Well, I want to tell you today that God knew this was going to be an issue. That's why throughout Scripture it's written about angst, and it's written about anxiety, and it's written about worry, and it's written about these things that can control our minds if we allow it to. Now let me say from the outset, such is my case, such may be the case of you, sometimes God has led us to doctors who have prescribed medications to help balance us out. Again, that's okay. We're not submitting to the anxiety, the worry, the depression, we're submitting to the one who can help control it. And that is okay. All right, let's break down that barrier right now. If somebody has diabetes, insulin is important. If somebody has depression, medication is also important. And so we need to understand that and sympathize sometimes with people. But what I want to talk about today is quickly just review what we discussed last week. We left you with the word calm. It's a word that we want in a world full of conflict, in a world full of anxiety and stress and worry and guilt and war. What are we looking for? Calm. We want calm. You know, I know in my life, in my family, they can tell you. I'm not saying we always keep this perfectly, folks. Listen, as long as Perry Cagle is involved in anything, it will not be perfect, okay? But in my household, one thing I do not tolerate or do not like is yelling. I do not want people to yell across the house. I do not want people to scream for one another. I don't even like it when someone's upset and they wail, you know. We try to get that calm. I like calm. I like peace. I want that in my home because there's so much of it outside my home, right? There's so much war and conflict and craziness outside of it. We long for that calm. Well, what did calm stand for? Quickly, we need to celebrate God's goodness. All this came from Philippians chapter 4. Celebrate God's goodness. God's done a lot of great things for us. The A is ask God for help. That's a past pattern we need to follow. The L is when we ask God for help, leave it with Him. We're going to talk about more of that today. And then finally, you remember Paul said to meditate on these good things. And so that's what the M is. Meditate on the good things. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask for God's help. Leave it with Him and meditate. That's the key to calm. But here's another C word that I'm concerned about today is control. We are people that do not like to render control. We do not like to surrender control sometimes. And let me speak to you from a male perspective because I've never been a female, so I can't speak from that perspective, okay? But from a male perspective, it seems to me, I do not have statistics, I do not have research, this is just a Terry Cagle assumption, okay? It seems to me that men sometimes struggle with this more than females. Maybe it's because the pattern of the way God designed things. But sometimes it's really hard for a man to say, okay, I give up. Okay, I do not know where I'm going. Okay, I messed this up more than helped it, so let's call somebody to fix it. Or, you know, we could go on and on. Sometimes as a male, it seems to me we struggle with that, but I'm guessing that chances are the females struggle with that from time to time too. We are people that when we get hold of something, we do not want to let it go. Brother Kevin talked, and I know his class has been great, and he said some great things when he's been a nice man, but he talked about giving. when he talks about Brother Black, and he referenced Brother Black about having knowledge of the Scriptures and what they say. Of course, Brother Black had plenty of knowledge of the Scriptures, of all of it, but that is true. But sometimes what happens is we have money and we don't want to let it go. We do not want to give it up. And so sometimes that's why we struggle in our giving. Sometimes that's why we struggle in our time. And we need to understand there are a lot of things today trying to control you. And there are a lot of things today trying to control me. You think about it. If we were to do a pie graph today, we would see the things in our lives that dictate what we are. And if we're not careful, those things that dictate what we are will also control us. Remember, I said that anxiety is unavoidable, but it doesn't have to be our prison. We do not have to, it is unavoidable, but we do not have to be imprisoned to it. Well, today, the devil now, he wants you. You remember the signs, the pictures where Uncle Sam saying, "I want you"? Well, picture Satan. I don't know what you picture him as, but he's evil. Picture evil there saying, "I want you." And one of the ways he wants us is to control our mind, to control our heart, to control our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, our all. But today we have to ask the question, if we are going to deal with our lives, with anxiety, with worry, with control, we have to ask the question, who has my life? What am I allowing to control me today? It's a question that is kind of where the rubber meets the road. So what I want to use today is a scripture that you're going to be familiar with. I want you to go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. This is a passage that I probably have preached on hundreds of times, one way or the other in my life. I remember when I was a student at Fort University, hearing somebody teach very passionately on this scripture. And I tried to pattern, you know, the way he dug into the scripture. That's the way I try to approach all of them now and try to pick something out in there. But as I was going through my mind and thinking about what I was going to preach the last couple weeks, this scripture kept coming back to me. And listen, I could have gone a lot of places. I could have gone Matthew 6, where Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Where he talks about worry there. Don't worry about tomorrow. He talks about put God first. Could have gone there. We went Philippians 4. That's another one. Be anxious for nothing. There are a lot of places. I even looked at Old Testament. There's so many scriptures in the Old Testament about what I'm going to give up and why I'm going to give it up. But I went Mark 4 because I believe this is a great passage that we can dig our teeth into. We can sink down and we can put ourselves emotionally and spiritually where they were physically. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, we know that's Jesus Christ, right? He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." There was their mission. Cross over. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him, of course, Jesus again, along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What a powerful scene in all the Bible. And I've used this to prove who Jesus is. With just three words, He controlled nature, folks. And I want you to see that today. I want you to see who was in control and who desires control in your life and my life also. But what I want you to see before that is who the people on the boat, the disciples, allowed, who and what they allowed to be in control. Because when you see it, I think we're going to see ourselves. Now, if you want to talk about anxiety, you want to talk about stress, and you want to talk about worry, when your life is in immediate danger, and I do not know that mine has ever been, so I can't say 100% I know what they felt like. But when your life is faced with an unbelievable obstacle, with an unbelievable problem, with an unbelievable challenge, when you're faced with that, stress, worry, and anxiety are sky high. Do you think theirs was? They are in a boat, not a 30-something foot contender, okay? Not a Titanic-type vessel, a cruise ship-type vessel. They are in a wooden boat that is probably built better than a lot of wooden things today, but it's still built with man's hands, and it's still built with things where technology had not advanced to where it is today, right? And the wind is blowing, and the waves are picking up, and the boat is filling with water. And so, before I beat them up too much, are you crying out today, God, do you not care that I am perishing? Is that how you feel? Because chances are there's some in here today that feel that way. God, do you not care? And that's what we hear, right? Let's do it again. God, do you not care? And we hear nothing. And so the devil, through the anxiety, through the stress, through the worry, he says, no, God doesn't care. And we start to doubt. And then we get afraid. Because we can't see the forest before the trees. We're clouded over. We're trapped. And we feel like we're suffocating. And we can't get out because the boat is filling up with water. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We feel like we're drowning. And we can't get out. I want you to know, if you're asking the question, do you care? The answer is, yes, He cares. Yes, He cares. You see, take aside our personal faults right now and look at mankind as a whole. There was a time when we were all drowning. When Eve and Adam brought sin into this world, we were going to die a second death. And God came to our rescue. He came to our rescue in the form of a son. And that son withstood everything we're facing today, temptation-wise. And He resisted them all, only to receive death. And because of that death, because of that burial, and because of that resurrection today, we are reminded, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. But now back to it being personal. Today you might hear that but not be able to believe that because we have a cloud. We need to ask ourselves some questions today. Because here's why we have the cloud. And folks, I had to get to this point. I sat with my wife in a counselor's office reception area. And I filled out the paperwork. And I looked at her because my anxiety was sky high. And I was angry. And I said, I'm not going in there. And she said, please. And I said, no. And she said, why? And you want to know what I said? I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, because I'm not crazy. Folks, I did go in there. But I couldn't see. Because I was surrendering to a cloud of worry, a cloud of anxiety, a cloud of doubt. And it had control of me. But the devil, knowing that, didn't want me to step foot in there. But I did. Some will say that's weak. But I think my wife would tell you it was very strong. Because I said, I'm not going to let it cloud me anymore. Today, if you have a cloud, I love you enough to tell you the truth. You surrendered control to the cloud. Today, we need to ask ourselves some hard questions. Some questions they had to ask themselves in that boat. Here they are. Number one. What's controlling me? Is it the wind and the waves? If you look back at the text, a great windstorm arose, the waves beat in the boat that it was already filling. When we're moving right along in life and a storm comes up, are you ever going to have any storms spiritually? You're going to have any storms emotionally? Yeah, you are. If you haven't already, they're coming. Just get ready. Like the song goes, we used to sing a devotional song years ago, George and I were youth ministers. It goes, you better get ready because it's going to rain. There are days coming when it's going to rain. And our boats are going to feel, and our minds are going to feel, and our lives are going to feel, and we're going to be like, I can't take it anymore. And we're barely keeping our nose above water to catch a breath. And that's when we cry out just like they did, God, do you care? Think about it, the wind and the waves, they got Peter also in the face of Jesus Christ. He stepped out of the boat and I applaud him for it. He walked on water and there's only two men to ever do it throughout Scripture. And they're doing it right there together. But for a moment, he surrendered the control of Jesus Christ that quick, that quick, that quick. He took his eyes off and he sank. And that's us. What about in Acts 27? I love this. Beginning in verse 17. This is Paul trying to get to Rome now. When they had taken it, he's going to prison, but they're taking him there. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. What's happened? A terrible storm, a hurricane-type storm has come up, and they're in a boat as well, in a ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on the assertive sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard and our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved has finally given up. Did you hear that? They're in a hurricane and they're throwing stuff overboard. We're going to die. And you throw stuff overboard. We're throwing stuff overboard. And they got to the point and said, we have no chance of survival. And that may be us today. But they have not surrendered control. The storm controlled them. The storm controlled them in Mark 4. The storm controlled Peter when he was walking on water to Jesus Christ. And chances are the storm is controlling us today. Jesus' response to the storm, I'm going to get some sleep. I'm a little tired. Let me ask you this. Those of you who struggled with anxiety and worry, by the way, I developed insomnia. When I was doing it at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake all the rest of the day. I go back to bed and same thing over and over and over again. That's where the serotonin drops. And it doesn't build back up. You can put all that together and you have problems. Okay? But let me ask you this. Anybody sleep when they've got worry and anxiety on their hearts and minds? No. You don't. What was Jesus doing during a storm? He was sleeping. You know why? Because He was not surrendering control to the storm. He was in control. He could sleep in the storm because He belonged to His Father. Now listen, it's not a faith problem. But chances are it's a control problem. We must consider who is on board with us. Through the storm, through the noise, through the angst, through the worry, Jesus slept. We will not get through the storms of life if we don't surrender control to our God. Second question. Who's controlling us? Is it the oars or the oars? This one hit me, and you know my mind works a little different sometimes. But I got to thinking as they were doing this, you know, I mean, they were in a ship, and I'm sure they had a sail and all, but they had to row, and they had to oar. By the way, when the wind picked up and the storm picked up, you think they were still rowing? Probably not. They probably let go of that, and they probably grabbed some buckets or whatever, and they were bailing water, right? And they're screaming at Jesus, "Wake up! Do not care!" Well, you might not be holding on to O-A-R-S oars, but chances are we're holding on to some O-R oars. Who's in control? Jesus or Word? Who's in control? Jesus? Or anger? Who's in control? Jesus or doubt? Jesus or money? Jesus or job? Jesus or family matters? Jesus or sin? Jesus or self-control? You want me to go on and on? Are the oars in charge? Or Jesus? Or is Jesus? Who's in control today? Now let me say this to you. If we know Christ should be in control, if we know Christ, listen, I know, Terry, you're right. Amen, brother. Even though you didn't amen, I know you're doing it in your head. But, amen, Terry. I know Jesus should be in control. Jesus, take control of my life. But we're still holding on to the oars. Let me let you in on a little secret. Then He's not in control. He's not in control of your life because you're still holding on to the oar. We're still holding on to what we can't control sometimes. If we continue to hold on to the oar, what are we going to do when our boat starts filling up? And folks, it will. You know, again, I imagine they grabbed buckets, they grabbed excess cargo, they held on to the sinking boat any way they could. But let me tell you something. Please, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I can put two and two together. They let go of the oars, they grabbed buckets, they grabbed cargo, they probably grabbed the ship, but guess what? Without Jesus rebuking that wind, that ship was still going to sink. You can hold on to whatever you want to hold on to around you, but if Jesus Christ is not in control, your ship's still going to sink. And so is mine. The very one that they should have clung to, the very one that they should have surrendered control to, they chastise. Isn't that the way it works in our lives sometimes? Let's be clear. Christ was the one that they should have clung to. Today, will we hold on to the oar? Or will we hold on to Jesus? And then finally, will we hold on to the fear? Or are we going to hold on to the faith? And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Jesus wanted to know if they're going to continue to hold on to fear. Or are you going to hold on to the faith? You see, it's much easier to hold on to our faith when our fear and anxiety are in check, right? Bo read to us earlier from 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. And to summarize that really quickly, perfect love casts out fear. You know who the perfect love is? Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ did? He took our fear away. God, through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, told a young preacher named Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But some of us are still letting fear control us. Listen, maybe it's a thorn in the flesh. Maybe it's something that we recognize. Maybe we're getting help, but we're still struggling. I understand. But we can't let it control us. We've got to surrender control to the one who cast out the fear. We need to rebuke the devil just like Jesus rebuked that one. Get behind me, Satan. As we close, I want to take our minds to this scene. Kids probably wanted us to go there too. What if I told you that this Christmas season, they're going to be presents under the tree for you? Inside all but one of these presents right here, this is our scene, okay? Let's say it's the green one. Inside all the rest of those but the green one are poisonous snakes. Okay? They're hungry. They're ready to attack. They're coiled up, ready to pounce. But I told you that inside the one gift in the middle, the green gift, is a gift so precious that money itself can't purchase it. Would we open any gifts but the one in the middle? No. That'd be the dumbest thing ever, folks. If I told you that in all these presents are poisonous snakes, but in this one is the most precious gift. Now, you'd have to trust me, okay? But this is the most precious gift of all. You can't even buy it with money. It is so valuable. How many people would open a gift with a snake? Today, then, why do we keep opening the wrong box? We keep opening up this help and this part and this advice and this and this and this and this and this and this sin and this worry and this war and this. But the one in the middle is the one that has all the answers. Today, inside that box is the indescribable gift. His name, Jesus Christ. What did he do? He came to take away it all. Burdens are lifted, Calvary. If you believe that, surrender it all to him right now. Together, we stand.